The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Good. I want you to. Boy, it really is a treat to be with you in person. I spent the first part of this internship speaking into a microphone in a basement with no other humans around. And that's a unique challenge, honestly. So I just, even though I haven't even really started, I just feel really supported having you all here, and I thank you for showing up and hearing me. I'm going to take us back to our reading from Romans, and we're going to start from there. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact, and this is the big if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. This text has been working on me this week, y'all. Especially this part. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But we do, don't we? I know I do. We are so often afraid of what I swear I barely even understand, and yet I cling to security as hard as I can. And I know I am not alone in this. I see you. I know I'm not the only one who has been possessed by a spirit of slavery rather than a spirit of adoption. I know I'm not the only one who has been held captive by fear. And when I read this letter from Paul, all I can see is that fear is like this interior cage that tightens and makes it hard to breathe and to move with love and compassion. And I know I have chosen this cage rather than to enter the wind of spirit whom Jesus says blows where it chooses. For according to Jesus, this is how it is for everyone who is possessed by the Holy Spirit. By a spirit of adoption rather than a spirit of slavery. For these people, they are free to move. They are free to be, to grow, to flourish, to live, and to bear good fruit. This means that when us who are gathered, when we are moved by the Holy Spirit, we actively live into our status as beloved children of God. And we become like the wind. We become fluid. We flow. We can go with God's own gravity. When we are rooted in this Holy Spirit, when we are inspired, meaning in spirit, we too experience a freedom of movement and expression that was not available to us when we were caged by a spirit of fear. A spirit of slavery. When we are moved by the Holy Spirit, we become like living water or the wind. We are internally unstuck and available to the will of God. When we are moved by the Holy Spirit, we are available to God's healing and to all the new realities that the Trinity, these universal forces, want to bring into being, are bringing into being as we sit here, as we speak, as we listen. And according to St. Paul, we become co-heirs of this glorious new reality with Christ. But first, we must suffer with him. And this is the catch, isn't it? If we run from our suffering out of fear of it, if we run from the pain that is part of being human, then we aren't really available to suffer with Jesus. We aren't really able to experience this new reality that God is ushering in. But facing pain, allowing for suffering, is really hard to do. It's really hard to do. It is so much easier to guard against these little deaths in protective fear. And I, for one, know this quite well. This is something that Dane knows about. And I'm a bit ashamed to say this, but I really can hardly remember not being afraid, if I'm being totally honest, because I was taught to be afraid. I was told that the world was out to get me, that I would be taken advantage of and robbed and murdered and killed at any moment by them, those people. When I was growing up, I was afraid of the people inside my home and the people outside of my home. As a kid, I was actually taught how to gouge people's eyes out with my thumbs and what to do if someone attacked me from behind. I was taught to arm myself, to never give too much information, to avoid eye contact with them, to exhibit only strong traits and to show no signs of weakness. I was taught to be on guard. I was taught to question, to be paranoid, because the world was a hard and dangerous place, and I needed to be hard and dangerous myself in order to survive. This is what I was taught. I was taught to be afraid. And I was told to stay in the cage and never leave. To play it safe. And for me, this felt secure. But what I found is that this security is an illusion. Because when we are dominated by fear, we may be able to hold the pain of life at bay for a while, but eventually it gets through the bars, y'all. The inconvenient truth is that pain is unavoidable. Death is unavoidable. And when we live dominated by fear, we don't really avoid suffering. We just extend it. We just transmit it. We just suffer alone in our separate cages, unredeemed. And in these isolated spaces, we have limited options for dealing with the pain we couldn't actually get away from. Because when you are living in fear, asking for help is simply too risky. And so instead, we find ways to sedate ourselves, to stay numb to the pain. Life in the cage of fear is all about coping. But when the pain arrives, and it always does, when we begin to feel the suffering we have held at bay so long, we can try to knock ourselves out with drugs. Or if we are very spiritual, we can transcend through meditation. Or we can work out constantly to get that dopamine rush. Or just stay really busy, 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 and active all the time. Or we can just watch TV until we melt into the couch. For me, I was doing yoga 6 days a week, chugging coffee so I could work as much as possible, and having beers with my friends frequently, because the minute I stopped all of that activity, I would begin to feel that suffering that I was holding at bay, that I was sedating myself from. I would begin to feel that pain, and it was just too much. For those of us who have been dominated by fear, for those of us who have lived in this particular cage, slowly over time, we just need more. We become these hungry ghosts who just need more food, more sex, more booze, more drugs, more stuff in order to intoxicate ourselves, because we can't handle the intensity of suffering all alone. It turns out that when we are dominated by fear, we become enslaved by our coping mechanisms. And there are as many coping mechanisms as there are people. Some are just more socially sanctioned than others. But they are all essentially doing the same thing, sedating us, so we can continue our cage status quo in security and safety. And it's a farce. Because when we live in this kind of cage, as soon as the pain passes, because that's how pain works, it comes up and it does go away. So when this pain passes, we doubly guard against it. We try to make sure it won't happen again. We try to be perfect or control and dominate everything or caretake for other people or simply vow to be unaffected, to be numb, to not care. We also avoid those people, the dangerous ones who see our cage, the ones who smell our fear and can name it for what it is. Oddly, we avoid the very people who invite us out of our cages. We demonize whoever threatens our comfort and surface security. We outcast them. Sometimes we even kill them as a society, as a culture on a whole. And I think that's what happened to Jesus. But there is another way. Jesus offers us another way to deal with the uncomfortable reality of human suffering. Jesus invites us to just face it as he did. To not run from pain, but to bear it. And to bear witness to the pain in all those people who we've outcast and ignored. We are invited to die in Christ and to be reborn in the Spirit of God. For we did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into that old fear, but we are born again and receive a spirit of adoption. And as I sat with this text, it was like sitting with Jesus and St. Paul. And as they're sitting with me, they're saying, you know, Dane, because I'm like, well, what do I need to tell the good people? And they said, you know, Dane, this is actually about you, buddy. You haven't recognized that you are actually living in your own cage. And we're inviting you out. And it's just going to take one phone call to your mama, who happens to be one of the people who I fear the most in my life, my mother. So on Tuesday, as I'm trying to write this sermon, I am confronted with this reality. And the grace of God invites me out of it. And so I call my mother up on the phone and I say, Mom, because I realize I can't write this sermon without doing this. So I say, Mom, I need to talk to you about some things. I need to take some of this pain that I've been holding and I need to lay it down in front of you. But I am so scared. I am terrified. And she said, without a moment of hesitation, she said to me, you do not need to be afraid. You do not need to be afraid. This was unbelievable. This floored me. And then for the next 40 minutes, she just listened. This person who I have never felt heard by listened. As I told her, as I took all of the pain that I had kept hidden in my cage, where I could protect it, guard it, deal with it on my own, I just shared it with her. And she just bore witness to it. And then she took my hand, this person who was my adversary, and she said, it's time to leave this cage of fear. Because you don't need to be afraid anymore. And together, we walked out of that place. But first, we turned and looked at what was there. We recognized what was there. So today, you and I are invited to turn and face the pain that cannot be avoided so that it can be redeemed and transformed into some new life by the grace of God. God calls us towards this pain, and we suffer with Christ, our brother, and our suffering joins his on the cross, and we are released from our cages of fear, and the cycles of coping are broken. The cycles of violence are broken, and that old self dies so that we can be born again in the Spirit, which makes us free to go where God chooses. When we suffer what is ours to suffer, our suffering is redeemed by the grace of God. By the grace of God, we are liberated from these old patterns of violence, from old cages of fear, and we are made free to move, to grow, to flourish, and to join into this glorious reality that is dawning like the day all around us. But first, we must suffer with Christ. So, in the name of God the Father, in the name of unity, in the name of the Creator, in the name of the Son, the particularity, our brother, in the name of the Holy Spirit, this sacred weaver of reality, this reconciling force, may we find God's grace. May we experience the freedom that is available to us when we suffer what is ours to suffer. And may God bless you and keep you. And may you remember that there is nothing under creation that can separate you from God's love. There is nothing that can separate you from God's love. Amen.